Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Picking up where we left off last week, we're in the series we've been calling the Summer of More, because we always think God has more for us, more for our life. And if you were not here last week, I highly encourage you at some point this week, maybe go back and watch last week, because we've had a lot of speakers this summer. They've been fantastic. In fact, I'll go back and watch the whole summer if you've missed it. But what I'm talking about today is a continuation of a mini discussion that I began last Sunday. Because we've been talking about Summer of More, wanting more. And last Sunday, I began talking about something that I know I need more of in my life. And I think we all need more of in our life. We may not always think about it that way. We may not think we need more. But what I began talking about is how we can have more purpose in our life. See, if you're like me, you probably wake up most days. You think you know what to do, right? You think you know what your purpose is. Or maybe you wake up some days and you really don't know what your purpose is and you start struggling to find it. Or maybe you've pursued some things in your life because you thought they were your purpose, and then those things fell away. And so you were left wondering, well, now what? Now what is my purpose? Now why am I here? I think we all are searching for that answer. Like, why are we here? And I did the best I could last week to try to answer that question. And what we really talked about was the only person who can determine the purpose of something is the creator of the thing, right? Whoever creates it, they're the ones who get to determine why they created it and what its use is. And we understand this very naturally in our lives, because the vast majority of things we buy now come with a manual, right? They come with an owner's manual. It's because the person who created your car, your TV, your iPhone, whatever it is, knows that you didn't create it. They created it. They know why they created it. They know the little features they put in there. And so they give you a manual so that you can read it, that you can understand it. Because even if you have had televisions your entire life, this TV might be different than the last TV, and there might be things you can't figure out, things you can't understand. So you can read the manual, you can program it, or be honest, you hit a certain age and you just ask your children to do it, right? I can still remember my grandfather. Oh, my grandfather. I programmed that man's VCR 8 million times. That's not an exaggeration, 8 million times. I even wrote him out like a step-by-step instruction manual for Grandpa. Man, when the power goes out, if you just do this is the exact list, and you can get that blinking 12. He hated the blinking 12. Hated it. Hated it. Drove him insane. I was like, Papa, this is how you do it. Never was. He would just be like, he lived in Aiken. I lived in Columbia. He would call me like, you got to come fix the VCR again. But anyway, we have these manuals, right, for these different things in our life. And if you're here last week, you know that I kind of made the parallel between these things and the creator of the things and us. God created us. God created us to love us. God created us on purpose. And last week we talked about the fact that God gave us an owner's manual. We call it the Bible. And I am fully convinced that if you want to get the absolute most out of your time here on earth, most out of life, you should read the Bible. You should try to live your life based on the principles contained within it. And we talked about that last week. We also admitted, and I'm just going to say it again if you missed last week, I'm going to say that a lot of you view the Bible like you do an owner's manual, right? Like it's long, it's confusing, and it's only to be approached in the gravest of emergencies. Right? Like I get that. And so that's why every Sunday as a church, what we try to do, the reason we do series, the reason we teach, the reason we do any of the stuff is because we are trying to show you how relatable and how relevant the Bible is to your life. It's why we do series. It's why we talk about different topics, because we want you to know that, yes, God even speaks into that, and God speaks into this, and you can understand it. It takes a lifetime to do, but you can. But if you were here last week, you know that we talked about you can really solidify, you can really kind of clarify our purpose in four words. And the reason we can do that is because Jesus did that. We talked last week, one time there were these religious leaders, and they were trying to catch Jesus in a trap, because they were always trying to trap him because they were not supposed to say stupid, but they were stupid. They were always trying to trap Jesus, and Jesus was so much smarter than them. And one of the times what Jesus did is Jesus clarified for all his followers for all time. He condensed the entire Bible into four words, two statements that perfectly clarify why we breathe, why we are here, why we exist, and what our purpose is. And those four words are follow God and help people. That's why we breathe. We live, our purpose every day is first to follow God. Follow God doesn't simply mean love God. It doesn't mean think good things about God. It means to follow God, to decide and declare in your heart that God is right and you are wrong in any area where there is tension. It's to say, I give up my rights, I give up my privileges, I give up my desires. God, I'm going to follow you. Now, why would you do that? Well, I say this all the time, because God is all-loving. He loves you more than anyone ever has. He's all-knowing. He knows the future. He's all-powerful. He created the heavens and the earth, and he likes you. He's all-loving, all-knowing, all-powerful, and he likes you. And he wants to help you avoid some landmines in your life, avoid bad decisions, avoid guilt, shame, and regret. He wants to do those things for you. So, of course, it makes sense to follow that person. He loves you, he knows everything, and he has the power to change things. It makes sense to follow that guy. So the first reason you're here, why you exist, is to follow God with your life, is to trust him with your life. But the second, Jesus told us last week, is equally important to the first. We're not supposed to follow God. We are then supposed to help people. We are supposed to assign people value in our life. What value? More valuable than you. Follow God means God is smarter than me. Help people means people are more valuable than I am. Here's what that means. That means whenever there's a tension, whenever there's a chance for you to be selfish, whenever there's an opportunity for you to say, well, you know, they could do this, but I need it more. Somebody's got to fight for me. What Jesus says is you don't have to fight for you. I'll fight for you. I'm going to fight your battles. I'm going to worry about you. You just go out there and worry about loving and helping as many people as you possibly can. That is why you were created. That's what we talked about last week. And I kind of challenged you last week. I said, hey, go try to live this out. Like, imagine what your life would be like if you simply began to adopt this idea. Four words, entire Bible summed up, four words, follow God, help people. I'm going to follow God with my life. I'm going to help people with my life. How would your life be different? That's kind of where I left you. And I want to pick up right there this week, and we're gonna keep going because I kind of want to help paint a picture for you of what it could look like. Follow God, that kind of makes sense, right? You know right now. You know there are several areas of your life and several areas of my life where God says one thing and I'm doing the other, right? Or you're doing the other, and we could choose to follow him or not follow him. You understand that follow God. You have areas of your life where you followed God, and it's gotten better. You have other areas of your life where you haven't followed God because you're afraid it would be worse. But we all know if you simply followed God in that area, it would get better. So following God kind of makes sense. But it's the helping people, right? How do we help people? What does that look like? That's really what I help paint a picture for you today. And it's not my words. I want to turn to a guy named Paul. We turn to a guy named Paul here a lot at Wellspring because Paul wrote about half of what we call the New Testament. If you aren't familiar with the Bible is not a book. It's actually 66 different books written by over 40 different authors. It was compiled over about 2,000 years. We have an Old Testament. We have a New Testament. The Old Testament tells a story of God creating the heavens and the earth, sin, and God using this nation, of his chosen nation, the nation of Israel, kind of as an example to say, man, this is what happens if you follow me. And then in the New Testament, we pick up with this guy named Jesus. We believe Jesus was the Son of God. We believe that God sent his Son to earth. He lived a perfect, sinless life, and that he fixed the relationship that we had broken through our sins and through our mistakes. And the New Testament tells the story of his life, tells the story of the spread of the early church, and then we have letters. We have all these letters written by followers of Jesus, and Paul was one of these followers. Paul would start new churches, then Paul would write letters to those churches to give them instructions, and we believe that almost 2,000 years later, we can read these letters, and we know what God wants us to know about him and how to follow him. They're literally the instruction manuals for how to follow God with our life. And in one of these letters, specifically Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, he just tackles this issue head on. He says, hey, Corinthians, and through the Corinthians, he says, hey, us, hey, humanity, hey, everybody who hears these words and everybody who's ever thought about having a relationship with Jesus, let me help you. Let me clarify why you're still breathing. Let me clarify why your heart is still beating. It's because God created you for something so much bigger and so much greater than you ever thought possible. And all you have to do is follow the manual and follow his instructions. And you can experience a life better than you ever imagined possible. I know it sounds like quite a promise. But if you don't know yet, I hope you do someday know that we serve quite a God. And if anything, I am underselling the values of truly embracing the reason you exist. So, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if it's going to be up on the screen just like always. And Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthians, and he's trying to help them understand. They've been writing letters back and forth. They've had some issues, and it's almost like in chapter 5, he's like, okay, hold on. Let me just reset the table here. Let me explain to you guys why you're here. Let me explain to you guys what's going on and why this matters, okay? And so he starts in verse 17, and he kind of paints this broad picture, and then he shows how we play a part in it. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Here's how he starts. He says this. He says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. So there's a couple of things here. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Now, that may not be powerful for you if you've been a Christian for a while. Maybe the kind of the newness is worn off. But for those of you here today who would say you are not living your purpose, maybe you don't even have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you don't believe in Jesus. Maybe you're here because somebody invited you. Maybe you're here because, you know, it's kind of a cloudy day outside, so you couldn't go to the beach. You're like, oh, I'll go to church, whatever. They got a billboard, I'll go there. Like, I don't know why you're here. But I want you to know that picture you have in your minds of better, that picture you have in your mind of new, that picture that you keep chasing, that you think the new job or the new house or the new baby, like it, that it's going to fill, like that's a real thing. And I know what you're chasing. And what Paul is saying here is that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, meaning through Christ, you can get that thing you're seeking. Now, you didn't know that. You didn't know it was Jesus, but I promise you, I'm just telling you. You may not believe me, but I'm just telling you. That thing you're searching for, that newness, that fresh start, that there's got to be more, there's got to be better, there's got to be something else. There is, and his name is Jesus. And Paul says that anyone who belongs to him has become a new person, that the old life is gone, and that a new life has begun. A fresh start, a clean start, where you do not have to be a slave to the baggage of past mistakes and shame and guilt and regret. All these things are promised through Jesus. Now, I know maybe if you've never heard this story before, you're kind of thinking about this. You're like, okay, let's just pretend that that really is true. Let's pretend like I can really start over. Let's pretend like there actually is a purpose for me. What's it going to cost? That's what we all ask, right? What's it going to cost? Well, Paul's really smart. And Paul knew you're going to ask that question. And here's what Paul says. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. Now, here's the amazing thing about a gift. A gift costs someone something, but it doesn't cost the receiver anything. You understand what I'm saying? When you buy someone's a gift, you paid for it. It costs you something, but it doesn't cost anything to the person who it's given. This gift of a new life, this gift of purpose and meaning is a free gift to you. But if you don't know, let me quickly explain. It costs God everything. See what he says there? He says he brought us back to himself through Christ. Now, again, one of the things I love about our church is that we have people every week who attend our church who don't believe what we believe. And so you may not even know what that means. In fact, when I'm talking about a gift from God, brought himself, brought back to himself through Christ, like, you kind of start to glaze over, right? Because what I'm speaking is what I call Christianese. I am fluent in Christianese. I've been raised in Christianese. I can speak Christianese. I can talk about the blessings and this and that and all that kind of stuff. And there's power in the blood of the Lamb. Like, I can speak Christianese, okay? Now, I understand some of you do not speak Christianese. Now, here's the great thing. I'm also fluent in English. I'm fluent in Christianese, and I'm fluent in English. So what I want to do is I want to translate Christianese. There's nothing wrong with Christianese. Once you're in the room, of course we all speak Christianese. But if you don't get what we're talking about, it doesn't matter. And you have to get what we're talking about here. So let me translate this. All this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. What does that mean that God brought us back to himself? If he brings us back, here's what that means. That means he had us, he lost us, and then he brought us back. Let me explain. When God created the heavens and the earth, if you read the story, maybe you grew up in church, maybe you've been to a Bible school, and you heard about Adam and Eve. I know some of you are rolling your eyes. You're like, really? Does this guy believe in Adam and Eve? Here's what I always say about Adam and Eve, okay? Jesus believed in Adam and Eve. He talked about Adam and Eve like they were real people. And anyone that can predict their death, burial, and resurrection and pull it off, I believe what they say. I'm with them. He believed in a real Adam and a real Eve. I believe in a real Adam and a real Eve. God created Adam and Eve, and he had a perfect relationship with them. They could talk to him. He could talk to them. Perfect union. He gave them one rule. Do whatever you want. Don't eat from this tree. Our enemy, Satan, who hated God, and because God loved us, he hated us, wanted to destroy us, so he deceived Adam and Eve into rebelling against God with the oldest trick in the book of saying, God's holding out on you. God didn't give you that role because he loved you. God didn't give you that role to protect you. God gave you that role because he's a cosmic killjoy who likes playing with people's lives. He likes you to be miserable. But if you really want to be free, eat that fruit. And they did. And they rebelled against God, and they were wrong. They committed what we call a sin. They did something God did not want them to do. And through that sin, everything was broken. Our relationship with God was broken. Our relationship with God was separated. God had created us to love us. We rebelled, and we fell away. And God is not like an antiques dealer. Because an antiques dealer is like, you break it, you buy it. God was said, you break it, I'll buy it. And he bought it with his son's life. See, if you're not sure about Jesus, that's why Jesus came. Yeah, you can say he was a great moral teacher and a great leader, and he was all those things. But he was the sacrifice for all mankind. Because Jesus came and he lived a perfect, sinless life. He never once stepped outside of God's plans for his life, not even for one second. On a Thursday evening, he was arrested. He was beaten. Went through some mock trials. By Friday morning, he was handed over to the Romans. They had him beaten again. By Friday at lunchtime, he was carrying his own method of execution to the location of execution. He was stripped naked, nailed to a tree. And by about 3 o'clock, he was suffocating so badly that he died. And as he was hanging on that tree, his last words were, "It is finished." And what was finished was not his life. What was finished was your death. Because those sins we've committed that separated us from God, they cost something. And what they cost is our lives. Because God is perfect. God has to destroy sin. So he loves us. We were created to love him. We rebelled, born sinners. So we're born with a death sentence. Born, destined to destruction. And then Jesus stepped in and said, nope, I'll take it. And so God took the punishment you deserved and I deserved and everybody who's ever lived deserved. And instead of punishing us, he punished Jesus in our place. So that through Christ, he could bring us back to himself. So that he could pay the price to give you a free gift. And that free gift is this. Believe in my son. Follow my son. And you can come back. And we can have a relationship. And it can be like nothing ever happened. And you can walk in the purpose you were created to walk. And you can have more meaning and contentment and satisfaction than you've ever had in your life. It is a free gift. But it cost me everything. Now, Paul is writing to a group of Christians. They already know this story. They know to speak the language. I'm simply telling you this because I know some of you in the room do not. Some of you watching online, you don't know this story. And you need to know, you need to understand what was done on your behalf. Now, if you are a Christian, you need to know that your responsibility does not stop with simply receiving the gift. Your purpose does not stop with simply following God and helping people. That your purpose goes further. That once you have received your purpose, your job is to become a purpose provider for the people in your life. That's what Paul says next. Look at this. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to Him. God the Creator created us for a task. Let me say that again. God the Creator created us with a job in mind. That sure sounds an awful lot like purpose. That sure sounds an awful lot like you were created with a job to do. And the job, it's a little job, is to help reconcile people to Him. It's to help people who have not discovered their purpose find their purpose through you. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute. That sounds an awful lot like the preacher's job. I'm just going to show up. I understand, but I'm not done yet. And Paul knows you're going to say that. So let's keep reading. Let me explain to you why it matters so much that we all do this, that we don't just leave this off to some people. Here's what he says. He says, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. See, God sent Jesus not just to rescue everybody in this room. Not just to rescue the people you like, not just to rescue your family, not just to rescue your friends, not just to rescue for the people that live in your area, not just to rescue the people that look like you or vote like you. He sent Jesus to rescue the world. That means you've never locked eyes with someone that Jesus didn't die for. Period. Jesus loves them as much as He loves you. And if you are a Christian, if you are beginning to live out your purpose, what you will discover is your purpose doesn't stop with you. Your purpose is to provide purpose for the people in your life and beyond. And if you think I'm exaggerating, look at what Paul says next. He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. He gave it to us. He gave us the wonderful message. He performed the most wonderful message. He created the wonderful message. And then He gives it to us. He says, take my message to a world. Tell the world that I love them. Tell the world that I've made a way for them to experience a life they've never imagined possible. Tell the world that you have the key to their purpose and to their meaning. And that what you have, they need. Because it's going to make their lives better. Because it's going to bring them back into the very reason they were created in the first place. You say, yes, I created you on purpose. I created you to love you. But once you love me, you got to work with me to go reach the rest of the world. And again, you want to push back and you want to say, man, that sounds like a lot of work. And that sounds like it's way above my pay grade. I like to park cars in the parking lot. That's what I like to do, Pastor. I'm good at that. I like to hold babies. I'm good at that. And now you're talking about talking to people. I don't know what to do. Don't worry. It gets worse. Here's what he says. So we, ones who have become Christians, we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. Let that sink in. God is making His appeal to a world that needs Him through those who have found Him. which means people are going to make decisions about Jesus and God and whether they should follow him, not based on his teaching, not based on his books, not based on his actions, but on ours. Because we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. And not just us, through our social media accounts. It's Sunday. So everybody's good on Sunday. I see it. Everybody's already checked in. Best day of my week. Oh, getting my Jesus on. And you probably speak a little Christianese, and it don't matter. Oh, Jesus. And then tomorrow's going to happen, and somebody's going to cut you off on traffic, and you are not going to praise Jesus. Or something's going to happen at work, and that girl beside you did it, and she's done it 5 times, and you're done with it, and the way you're going to handle it is take to Facebook. So that you can be affirmed in your heart of your rightness and your goodness and her wrongness. Remember, we are making an appeal for God. Now, I'm not telling you this to make you feel bad. We all do it. But I would be shirking my responsibilities as your pastor were I not to point out what Paul says our job is. He says we're Christ's ambassadors. He says God is making his appeal through us. That's not all he says. Look at this. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back. Come back to God. And he doesn't say you will when you do it right. He says we are. And we do. Because anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. So once you have received God, once you have begun to embrace this purpose we're talking about, to follow God and to help people, once you begin to live that, once you begin to embrace that, once you begin to accept that, what he's saying is like there's no going back. You can't flip the clock. You are now on the team. You are now an ambassador. You now speak on my behalf, and people will evaluate me through you. Now, see, Jesus is really good because he knows we're humans. He knows we're not perfect, so he's not saying be perfect. It's not what he's saying at all. He's simply saying, remember what happened to you. Remember, I've changed you. I bought you. I set you free. And now I have 2 things for you to do. Just two things. Just follow God. And help people. That's all I'm asking. See, I know for some of you, like when you hear this language about, oh, I'm Christ's ambassador, God is speaking through me, like your first thought is like, does this mean I have to quit my job and like become a preacher or like a missionary? Do I have to move to Africa? Is that what's going to happen? That's what you're saying. I knew it. Like I told you that's what was going to happen. No. God wants you to follow God and to help people where you are. Now, that doesn't mean there may be times and seasons where he moves you and changes you, but he wants you to work where you are. Remember how he said earlier that he wants us to reach the whole world? That he wants to reconcile the whole world? That's a whole lot of people. And if we want to reach all people, we got to be all places. So that means God needs way more than just pastors and just ministers. He needs coaches who are going to follow God and help people. He needs bankers who are going to follow God and help people. He needs doctors. He needs lawyers. He needs nurses. He needs CEOs. He needs construction workers. He needs moms. He needs dads. He needs big brothers. He needs middle school students. He needs high school students. He needs people everywhere because he wants to reach everyone. to simply say, okay, I get it. I get why I was created. I understand it. I need to wake up every day, and God, I need to follow you with my life. Any area that's not in line with what you want, I need to change it because I need to follow you. And every opportunity I have, I need to help people. I need to put other people first. I need to love them more. I need to serve them. I need to do those things. And you may say, yes, Trey, but he said we're supposed to speak on his behalf. He says we're ambassadors. Right, but when you follow God and when you help people and when you truly do those things, has anybody ever tried it? Do you know what happens? The people in your life who don't follow God look at you and say, what in the world are you doing? Explain this to me again. You go to church every Sunday? You go for 2 hours every Sunday? You show up early? You volunteer? And then you go to a service? And then, wait. And then while you're there, you give them money too? You basically pay them for the privilege of volunteering at their place. Really? What? And you're like, yep, I do. Why? Because it's better. Because life with Jesus is better than life without Jesus. My marriage is better. My family's better. My anxiety's better. My finances are better. My relationship with my parents is better. I'm not saying it's perfect, man, but I'm just telling you, it's better. And if you want your life to be better, I think you should do the same thing. See, what happens when you follow God and you help people, you earn the right to help people follow God. It's a little circle. You see what I did there? It's a little circle. You follow God and you help people so that you earn the right to help people follow God. See, so many of us think you just show up and start talking. It doesn't work that way anymore. You know this. When somebody calls you out of the... How many of you over the last year have gotten a phone call out of the blue where somebody tells you you've won something? Right? How many of you continued the phone call? None of you. You hung up because you're like, that sounds too good to be true. We are past the point of just being able to tell people Jesus is better. You should come follow us. No. They want to see it. They want proof. And your gracious, loving Heavenly Father intended from the beginning for you to be the proof. For you to be the answer to the question humanity has been asking from the beginning, is there really a God? Your life is the proof. The change in you is the proof. The peace in you, the satisfaction in you, the loving acts, the truly loving acts, not the charity you're doing looking around to see who's looking. Not the charity you're doing, you're like, is the TV station here yet? Okay, well, I'm gonna wait. Oh, there they are, oh, let's feed. No. When you truly begin to live out your purpose, the reason you exist, something happens inside of you. As you truly begin to follow God, and you truly begin to help other people, and you earn the right to then help those same people follow God, and you see God move through you to transform the world around you. Folks, I'm telling you, I've dedicated my life to this. There is nothing. And really, last week and this week is simply an invitation. It is an invitation for those of you who maybe have been on the periphery, who maybe don't quite understand what your purpose is. It is an invitation for you to jump in. An invitation for you to join what is happening here. An invitation to say, I get it now. I want to follow God. I'm going to bring the areas of my life under Him that aren't. Because that's the question. What areas of your life do you need to bring under God's control? Because we've all got some. What is it? How would your life look different if you chose to follow God in your finances? If you chose to follow God in forgiving your neighbor? If you chose to follow God in submitting to the authority of your boss? If you chose to follow God in saying, I'm in this marriage for life no matter what? How would your life be different and better? What if you decided to truly help people? I know some of you, you don't really know how to help people. You're not sure what to do. You know, as a church, we're constantly trying to give you opportunities to do that. Coming up in a few weeks, we have our Love Week. Starts on August 14th. I encourage you to sign up to be a part of that to help this community. But I also encourage you, last service I almost said to have a love life, but that sounded really dirty and like not what I was talking about. So have a loving life. And what I mean by that is if you see a need in your community, in your neighborhood, at your kid's school, you do not have to wait for the church to give you permission to help. Help. You are the church. You are Christ's ambassadors. You speak on his behalf. When you plead, come back to God. You are empowered by God through his Holy Spirit to speak and to provide and to help in all situations. So sure, the church, we love to organize ways to help. But don't wait on us. If there's something going on and you know about it, go help. If you need our help to help, let us know. But you're empowered to go do those things. Now see, one of our core values as a church sort of says the same thing a different way. But we like it as our core value because it kind of provides a sense of urgency to who we are and what we do. And this is it, and we're done. At Wellspring, we are rescued people who rescue people. We make no bones about it. We did nothing to earn the gift God gave us. He rescued us. His son came to rescue us and to set us free. And because we have been rescued, we are fully aware it is our job to rescue as many people as possible. How do we do that? We follow God. And we help people so that we get to help people follow God. How would your life be different? And does anyone think it would be worse if you simply adopted and lived out the very reason God created you? If you chose to follow him with your life, just follow him. Just follow him. When there's confusion, ask somebody who knows. But just follow God. Just follow him. He's all loving, all powerful, all knowing. Wants the best for you. He's smarter than you. Just do it. It is the best decision you'll ever make in your life. Just follow him. Just decide right now. God, you are smarter than me, and I'm going to trust you. God, you're smarter. And world, you're more valuable. So I'm not going to look out for my own interests. As Paul says in another letter, I'm going to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in all things, consider others better than myself. Do you really think it wouldn't be better? Have you ever done something truly loving for somebody else? Have you ever done something that was truly selfless? And you remember how you felt afterwards? Remember how great you felt? Maybe you even felt guilty because of how great you felt? Because you had helped somebody. Let me help for you. Let me clarify you. Don't you ever again feel guilty because of how great it feels to help somebody else. Because that feeling you have right there, that is the feeling of purpose. That is the feeling of perfection. That is the feeling our Heavenly Father has put inside of you and has designed you to live in. You don't feel guilty about that feeling. You go get that feeling. Because that is the feeling of purpose. That is the feeling God wants his sons and daughters to walk in every single day. A feeling of knowing God is using me to change the world. It's what he's used for 2,000 years, and it's what I believe he's going to use for as long as we're here. And so as your church, we invite you to partner with us. Let's be people that follow God. Let's be people that make it our mission to help people. Let's be his ambassadors. Let's scream as loud as we can. Let's rescue as many as we can for as long as we can. Let's go change the world. Let me pray for you. God, we love you. We thank you that you invite us in to this amazing adventure. We thank you that you created us. that you created us on purpose, that you created us with different skills and strengths and talents, and that you want to use us to come together to rescue humanity, to bring them back to you. And Lord, I beg in this moment that you just make this message real in our lives and real in our hearts. Maybe walk out of here changed. Maybe walk out of here aware that you have more for us, that we breathe for a purpose, and that purpose is to be purpose providers for the world that desperately needs it. Give us opportunities this week to follow you. Give us opportunities this week to help people. Give us opportunities this week to be your ambassador, to change the world. It's in your son's name we pray.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.